The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 152 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Today's main story: as schools confront the question of how and whether to reopen for the fall, U.S. education leaders have cited major budget challenges in making schools safe from the virus. But first, here's what happened in virus news today. In the U.S., there has been a spike in coronavirus infections in children. In the last half of July, cases among kids grew 40%, according to a report from the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association. That brings the total number of child infections to around 9% of all U.S. cases. But deaths from COVID-19 total only 86. That's 0.06% of total fatalities in the country. The report aggregates data from 49 states. While the surge of infections may inflame the heated debate about schools reopening in the fall, the data also show that child infections make up a disproportionately small share of the overall outbreak in the U.S. California, Florida, and Arizona had the highest number of total child cases, with more than 20,000 each. In New York, the number of coronavirus patients hospitalized and occupying intensive care beds has reached a new low. Governor Andrew Cuomo said today that there were 535 people hospitalized and 127 in the ICU statewide on Sunday, the lowest since the pandemic began in March. There were two virus-related fatalities. Finally, the World Health Organization is planning an extensive mission to investigate the virus's origins, starting in Wuhan, China, where the first cases were identified. The WHO will deeply study individuals' exposures and activities, like travel, occupation, and daily life, before they developed symptoms, all to get to the bottom of how the first cases were transmitted from animals to humans. Mike Ryan, head of the WHO's Emergencies Program, said the first case of an illness to be identified is not always in the location of the first cluster. He noted that it took years to determine the animal origins for the 2012 MERS outbreak. And he said that the genesis of the 2002-2003 SARS outbreak has never been fully established. And now for today's main story. Arne Duncan, the former U.S. Secretary of Education, recently warned a House panel against opening schools prematurely. He's one of a growing chorus of voices sounding the alarm about opening schools without properly funding safety measures. The schools, they say, simply don't have the money they need to make their buildings safe for students and teachers. At the same House panel, witnesses said public schools would need $200 billion in federal aid to open safely with the virus continuing to circulate. I talked to Skylar Woodhouse, who reports on costs and challenges of creating safe classrooms.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline, it's teamwork, and it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Walk us through some of these logistical hurdles schools are facing when they're considering reopening for the fall.
There's a lot that schools are having to take into consideration this upcoming fall, abiding by all the social distancing guidelines, making sure that their masks are being worn, making sure that there's enough protective equipment available for students and staff, the cleaning of schools. And when boiling all of these things down, educators at this hearing that took place on Thursday with the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis, these educators came in saying that they need $200 billion in federal aid to help support these schools all across the country that are going to have students coming into the halls. At the hearing, we heard from leaders of the country and local, you know, teachers and administrators who are like on the front lines currently preparing for the reopening of schools.
And during the hearing and this discussion of funds, was there any mention of how this funding would be distributed amongst, you know, the thousands of schools in the United States?
So the funding is being asked to be sent to K through 12 schools that are going to see an influx of students going back to campus. And, you know, this money, it's not just to, you know, make sure that masks are available. This money is to make sure that cleaning can be properly done, that school buses are properly cleaned, to make sure that all of the working parts within the school system are being treated to prevent any type of possible spread of the coronavirus. So there was no specific plan as to this is where it's going to be distributed, you know, in terms of which areas would receive more than others. I'm sure that's a whole nother conversation. But the number was brought up because of the stimulus talks and Congress trying to come up with an agreement to pass the next round of stimulus so that money can start to be distributed across the country. You know, we're seeing negotiations right now between the House and the Senate, and the Republicans have proposed $70 billion for primary and secondary education, and 10% of that $70 billion would go to private and religious schools. So the number from Republicans, the $70 billion, that was just K through 12, but they actually presented $105 billion, and that would also, you know, go to higher education in different education sectors around the country. And the $105 billion for education that the Republicans presented is a few billion higher than what Democrats presented. And the Democrats had stated that when they were trying to get their piece of legislation out, they recognized that their number was lower once, you know, the Republican number came out, but they just saw the urgency to get a piece of legislation passed.
And among these administrators, teachers who are actually facing a reopening, I mean, in their local schools, what is their preparation plan? Let's say someone comes down with a case of COVID-19. What would happen? What is their feeling about that kind of threat in their schools?
Well, one of the witnesses at the hearing, Angela Skillings, she was teaching summer school this past summer, and one of her teachers that she was working with throughout this summer during summer school passed away from the coronavirus. And she was very vocal that schools should not be rushing to reopen at the rate that they are, and recognize that as much as you can do to prepare to prevent the spread of the virus, she really just touched on how hard it is and that it's just something that's like not controllable right now at this very moment. And then Robert Runcie, the superintendent, he expressed his concern for the fear that is going to come to his students and staff and parents of students and just really the community when you learn that one kid or one faculty member has tested positive for the virus. And it creates this type of fear when you have to start notifying families around the school, you know, that they have to begin quarantining because to try and prevent a potential outbreak within a school. Why are we reopening just to reclose knowing that students and faculty will test positive and knowing and seeing the numbers that are continuing to increase? And that was a big concern among the witnesses at the hearing.
Was there any discussion about whether the funds would be exclusively for in-class instruction, or is there an ability to use these funds potentially for online or digital education if the schools can't be reopened?
Well, part of the problem with the funding and part of the reason why this hearing was called was Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos. She said that schools that do not reopen, you know, will be defunded. And the hearing was called to let her know that that's not the case and that she doesn't have the legal authority. And with that, part of that came from President Trump saying that schools that do not reopen will be defunded. And that is a worry for some schools because they feel that if we don't reopen, then we're going to miss out on that funding that they desperately need due to the impact of the coronavirus. So I really just think it presents a question that we've all been trying to figure out throughout this pandemic is what's going to happen and what will kind of be like the final verdict and the final decision.
That was Skylar Woodhouse. And that's it for our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Voorhees, Jordan Gaspure, Magnus Henriksen, and me, Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by Skylar Woodhouse. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Rick Schein and Francesca Levy. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.